to Access Astrology. My name is Alison Price and I'm here with my good friend Arwen O'Neill, and we're coming to you from Vancouver, Canada. This session we'll be talking about the astrology from January 11th to January the 24th, 2015. We're going to be discussing some of the planetary transits and ingresses. We're going to have a look at the moon phases, and our Astrology 360 topic this time is New Year, New You, a consultation.
Indeed. And we've got a guest consultation chart that we're going to look at, and that will be exciting and
different. Yes, we're going to do a little bit of an interpretation on a guest chart.
Absolutely. But we're going to start with the transits and ingresses, and our first thing going into January 11th through 24th period is that we have Mars going into Pisces.
Yes.
Yes. Mars is, it's kind of awkward in Pisces, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. It's sort of a wishy-washy Mars.
Unless you're a Pisces, perhaps.
Well, yeah, Mars in Pisces, I've seen it in action. It's a bit indecisive.
Yes.
Yep. It's a bit more of the trying to appease or distract versus taking action kind of kind of a Mars.
Yes.
Yeah. So then on the 14th, we've got Mars square Saturn. And this is just one of the many things Mars will be getting up to this month. It's quite active. Uh-huh. So this is more of the stops and starts, obstruction and irritation, kind of driving with the parking brake on aspect.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah. And then on the 18th, we've got Venus opposite Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
So aesthetic or relationship desires may clash with ideals or ethics, possibly. The compromising principles sort of question, or maybe just the desires of the one outweighing the desires of the many, or such and such, conflicts. Yeah, yeah. Those things could come up. And then on the 19th, Mars conjunct Neptune. The fog of war aspect is what I call that one. And, yes, that's a dramatic one. It's often seen in the charts of police and protester clashes and riots and whatnot,
yes.
I've found. And on the same day, we've got the Sun moving into Aquarius. Yes. So that is...
That's quite a weak position for the Sun, even unless you're an Aquarian, but it's in its detriment, so not working well. The Sun's all about individual, Aquarius is all about the people.
Yeah. Mm. As a Leo, do you find the Sun transit through Aquarius to be a difficult time of the year?
No.
No, okay, cool. Because I find the Sun transit through Pisces and for some reason Aries difficult. Maybe that's a coincidence.
When it's opposing you.
No, I do. Okay, good.
I imagine, though, if you've got a Sun in Aquarius and the Sun transits Leo, you've got a problem. You see what I'm saying? That's different in the strength.
Right? Yeah, 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 totally. And then on the 20th, we've got Mercury going retrograde. So that means the same thing as it usually does. And so watch out for that.
There you go. And we all know what that means.
Communication snafus, and back up your equipment and think before you speak and all those things.
That's right. So, as we said last time, Mercury will be retrograding Aquarius. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So, maybe details about the Mars-Neptune conflict earlier in the week will be emerging slowly and,
that
time.
Yeah. So, that's the first retrograde period for Mercury for 2015, and we'll get two more later in the year.
Indeed.
All right.
Yeah. So, what's the moon doing?
Well, as I say, every time the moon's always moving, because it is. So in this period that we're looking at, on January the 13th, we've got the fourth quarter.
Mm.
And then on January the 20th, we've got a new moon in Aquarius.
Mm.
So this is going to be good. It's going to, and of course, if we talk about new moon wishing often, and that happens at the new moon. So the
new
sun
in Aquarius.
The sun will have gone into Aquarius on January the 19th, and the moon will be the new moon in Aquarius.
Yes.
So that's going to be early degrees of Aquarius in whatever house that is in your chart.
How early? Yeah, I think it'll be my third house. So that's.
It's got to be early because the sun's only been there one day. So it's going to be 1 degree or 0 or 1 degree Aquarius where the new moon occurs.
Yeah, excellent.
And it was the same the month before. The sun just goes into the sign and we get
just
the new
barely.
Moon.
Yeah.
So we're getting to the point where it's going to be the sun moves and then we got the second one in that month, but that's later in the year.
Yeah.
So do we know which house in your chart that's. Third.
Yeah.
So new moon wishing for third house issues such as, I don't know.
Hmm.
Make more notes and lists, I would have mentioned.
More lists, yes. That's what I want.
Make a list of lists.
I already did that in December, but yeah, my list of lists.
Go back to school, take a course, learn something new, open a book, read a book, write a book.
Yes, read all the books that I bought over the Christmas.
You bought books?
Yeah. Read my new books.
Oh, astrology books?
Well, yeah, some astrology books and some other books.
Oh, fantastic. He knows in a book, and that's great.
That, yeah, books are what I like.
So that's great.
Yeah. And where's that for you?
That will be in my sixth house of work.
Yeah.
Which never seems to end anymore, but still. So it's all busybodiness, I call that house.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So maybe I can just get all my work sorted out somehow. It's early on in the year, and hopefully we can get that, you know, kind of sorted, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah, so that's how the moon's going. So it's going from the fourth quarter down to the new moon, and then we're starting a new cycle at the new moon.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So our 360 topic today is the
New Year, New You
consultation.
Yes. Yeah.
And we have a chart. We are not going to identify. It's a guest chart, but it is a real person. Rest assured that we are not inventing a chart out of thin air to prove a point.
Why would we do that?
It wouldn't be fun.
No. So what we have today is that Arwen sent me the details of somebody's chart, whom she knows.
Yeah.
I do not know this person, and I got the chart, and she has the chart, and we're just going to go.
We're just going to
just have a little look at it and see how to start and where to go and what's
important. What kind of year it's going to be, like a little bit of
who's in, what's up, what's exciting.
Totally.
And I don't know if we'd like Owen to give the actual times and dates of this chart, or we're not going to do that.
Let's not do that.
Okay, fine.
We're definitely going to tell you the planetary placements and things. So,
are we going to put the chart on the side?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe you'd like to tell me a little bit about this person, just briefly.
This person is a woman. This person is working. This person is married.
And it's someone you know all her story, and you've maybe looked at her chart yourself a little bit in the way.
Yeah.
And you've cast her chart with what Janus you're using there?
I am, yes, exactly, yeah.
And
you are using solar fire?
Naturally.
Yes.
What else is there?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, fortunately, when I arrived here today at Arwen's, because we came at Arwen's place, I had the exact same chart as she has in front of her.
Yes.
Because sometimes
we compared aspects, the ascendant, rather. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yes, because you would always check whether the chart's the same with each other. If you've got the same degree on the ascendant, that's really the only way to check. So, in this case, we do have. And our Madam X, are we going to call her that? Has 4 degrees. Gemini rising.
Yeah. The sun exactly opposite that in Sagittarius, 4 degrees Sagittarius.
So this is actually very interesting because she's got Gemini rising. That means that Mercury is the chart ruler.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore Mercury is going to be incredibly important for this woman in her chart.
Yeah.
And we can clarify that more and say that it's just above the ascendant, it's in the seventh house.
Yeah.
So it's quite a strongly placed sun because it's conjunct an angle, which is very strong. If we also just go back to the ascendant and we say, well, where's Mercury?
Mm-hmm.
We can see that she's got the Mercury there in Sagittarius as well. Also in the seventh house, not conjunct the sun, but in the same house as the sun. So already we're having a double kind of whammy focus there on this seventh house placement. So that's kind of interesting. So what this means is that this woman was actually born just at dusk, just before the sunset, she came into the world. And that's really quite nice because the sun is in a powerful position on that Sagittarian descendant.
Yeah.
I would then want to look further at some of the placements that Mercury is contacting as the
chart ruler. Yeah.
It's interesting because this woman has a T-square and Mercury is the focal planet.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is that Mercury is squaring the Mars, which we'll get to. Mars is in Libra in the fifth house, and Mercury is also squaring Jupiter in Aries in the 11th house.
Yeah.
So not only is Mercury now important because it's the chart ruler and it's in the same house as the Sun, suddenly we see that it's squaring both Mars and Jupiter, which is important, and it's creating this T-square, which is one of the aspect patterns I see in her chart.
Yeah, would you say that this is like the prototypical bucket chart? A lot of astrologers don't use that anymore, but I remember...
Yes, it's a bucket.
Yeah, it's pretty much the...
So a bucket chart means that most of the planets are in one half of the chart, and then there's one planet on the top, which is the Jupiter.
Like the handle of a bucket.
And that's the bucket handle, yes.
Yeah.
And also it's important that the handle planet does make an opposition into the chart, which it does. It's opposing the Mars. We've got Mars opposite Jupiter. It's quite a tight one as well, just 2 degrees orb.
Yeah.
So already we've got this T-square that's come to our attention, pointing to the Mercury in the seventh house in Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there anything you want to tell us about anything there? Or shall I just keep going?
Oh, please continue. I'll jump in.
Okay, so when I look at this T-square, because suddenly now it's totally brought to my attention, we see that Mercury's in Sagittarius. Who's the dispositor? Good old Jupiter.
Mm.
Jupiter's part of the T-square, so Jupiter's actually really doing a double point to the Mercury, saying these energies are going to be expressed through seventh house issues such as partnerships, marriage, anything she does with other people, who she hangs out with, the general public, the legal profession.
Yeah, very partnership oriented.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So this is going to be a total focus for her because Mercury's in Sagittarius. Not well placed because it's in its detriment. It's in the sign opposite the one it rules. So it's struggling to get its voice out.
Yeah.
And this generally means that she thinks when she tells you something, she's made quite clear what she wanted, but what the other person hears, because it's seventh house, is not what she said.
Interesting.
So this
how is frustrating for Gemini rising.
Exactly. Yeah. So even if she's maybe on the phone or chatting to you over coffee, she's going to be telling you blah, 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 and you're hearing something different.
Huh.
So the way to overcome this is for her to approach things in multiple ways. She tells you something, she writes you a note, she sings you a song.
Ah.
Poetry or something like that to get the message, because it'll take her a long time to realize that people don't get what she said.
Right. Go through two senses if you can, the auditory and the visual.
Yes,
or
exactly.
Yeah.
So this woman is now a mature woman, and maybe she has by now realized that she has to keep repeating herself or telling you twice or something, and she'll be saying things like, I told you this last week. You know, you're not listening to me, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's because that message of her Mercury is not clear to those who are listening.
Interesting. That does actually resonate with some conversations that I've had with her, especially in the workplace. This is a problem. And but people are fascinated when she talks. She does have that animated Gemini rising thing where people pay attention when she talks. So she feels like she's getting her message clear and across. But then that makes perfect sense, that there is a complete disconnection with the actual person absorbing and taking away the message that she's trying to get across.
Yes. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. So even in, particularly in relationships where she's saying, I don't know, I love you, but I don't know, you've got to change this or something.
Mm-hmm.
The other person's not hearing exactly what she says.
Yeah.
So clarity has to come, and because it's Mercury, it has to come in smaller chunks, like packages coming at once. Cut your sentences down for communication. And you find that, as I say, she is mature. She's probably overcome this. But I would suspect that when she was a child at school that this was actually an issue.
Mm. Yeah.
That the message was not getting in and out that way because of the fact that Mercury's debilitated in Sagittarius and is on this square.
Yeah, interesting.
It's not only on the square from Jupiter, which is the dispositor of Mercury, so it's got the drop on that. We've also got Mars squaring in as well.
Yeah.
So what this means is, let's just have another back look at this T-square, that because the Mars is in Libra, again, not well placed.
Right.
So when Mars is in Libra, you often get yelling and swearing because it's trying to make a point. And it seems rude.
It's not right. It's not comfortable expressing itself so forcefully, but yet it's pushed into that position.
That's right. You often find people who can sing have actually this Mars in Libra because they can get the loudness out without being polite about it.
Fascinating. That is something that she's definitely
does. She
done.
Sing or absolutely. Just sing in the shower like the rest of us?
Both.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So
she tells me she used it when she was a child. She used to sing, but only in the shower.
Because Mars is energy that has to come out. And when it's in Libra, it's not coming out very politely. It's seen as...
But it hates it. Right? Yeah, that's fascinating.
So Mars energy has to come out. Yeah. And in Libra, you want it to be polite.
Yeah.
But it's not being received as such. It's being as, oh, that's a bit rude.
Right.
She said that word.
And she's going to feel like if she has to express herself again and again, that she's just
more forcefully
compounding it. But the message isn't getting across, so she has to find another way to reinforce
it.
And not to be worried that people will think she's being rude, because they're not getting it anyway.
But if we now go one step further, still looking at this T-square, we see that because Jupiter is in Aries, it's being disposed by the Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jupiter is also retrograde, so it's slightly weaker because of that as well. But Jupiter's in the 11th house, which is really an okay place for Jupiter. It's good to have friends, international friends, religious people, and so on. A vast range of people who may be acquaintances and that she may be able to draw upon to get her information in and knowledge and so on. And that will work in one way. One would want to think as well that she probably reads a lot because of the Mercury there too.
Definitely.
But the point is that because Mars is opposing the Jupiter, so we've got this energy that's trying to come out, we're trying to be feminine, we're trying to be ladylike. It may not be necessarily received as such, but if she understands that through knowledge, someone holds a mirror to her and says, you know, do it this way, do it that way, and control this burst that's coming through, it would be easier for people to understand what she's talking about, then she won't have to keep repeating herself.
Yeah, in more of like a maybe a teaching sort of way, in a...
Just even that when she realizes what I'm trying to say here, or as I say, she may already know this, but when she was younger, that would have been the thing that...
Yeah. To express herself.
Not knowing how to ask for what she wanted. Even right. Basic stuff.
Sure.
I don't like peas or, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I think there are some failed relationships in the past. I don't know if the exact reason for the breakdown of the relationships was strictly communication or just perhaps romanticism and not seeing all the elements of the other person as clearly. Because we do, I mean, we're going to get into that, but there is a lot of Libra in that chart.
Yes.
So I think maybe romanticizing.
The other.
Yeah, the other.
Making them feel like God when you've got Jupiter there.
But maybe not thinking of how good they are for you.
That's not, doesn't enter the head, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a bit of a quick look at how that T-square immediately seems to me to be working because, and as I say, with maturity, she will overcome that Mercury, but as a child, that would definitely have been the case. And as she matures, she will get better at the patter, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So chit-chat becomes easier and she can flow and communicate because it's urgent that she does communicate with everybody.
Yeah, yeah. That makes perfect sense.
And that's kind of like going to make it easier for her. Just this Mercury thing, because it's chart ruler and it's on a T-square and it's like, ding!
Yeah.
Sticking out, right? I don't know.
Like, I love your version of the chart
scan. Well, I can leave this with you, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll have that up there. But it's the color block things. Big red.
Arrowhead pointing right there.
Yeah.
So make sure they understand what you've said, your partners and anyone else you're dealing with, the public.
Yeah. Don't worry about being pedantic. Repeating yourself. Make sure that people understand.
It's important. It's important.
And they won't think you're bullying. It's
the chart ruler.
Yeah. And that way you don't have to get upset. If you overexpress yourself at first, then there's no need to be badgering or however it is that that she feels it's too aggressive or whatever.
But, I don't know how this... I mean, I don't know her, right?
No, so but you're
going
saying...
Cold, right?
Yeah, no, it's true, though. I mean, I think that might be a problem. And then the frustration of, well, I've already said this. I don't want to, you know, appear...
Pushy. Yeah, I don't want to appear pushy because Mars is in Libra.
I've already said this one. You know, they must have.
No one's listening. Yeah. But then I look at the chart that you have printed and I look at the chart that I have printed and I see I've actually got Chiron on mine.
Now, okay. I didn't include Chiron, but that's cool. Yeah.
Okay, because this is quite interesting because she's got Chiron conjunct Mercury. Oh. So it's creating a second T-square pointing to Chiron.
Wow.
But now Chiron's in the eighth house, so that's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah. Is it in the same sign then? Or is it an out-of-sign conjunction?
Yeah, it's an out-of-sign conjunction, but Mercury's at 26 and Chiron's at 1. So to me, that's a conjunction.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I agree.
And but it's split over, but you can see we have picked out two T-squares here. Now, the Chiron T-square is totally cardinal.
Okay.
Meaning she's going to keep having to deal with these planets in this T-square. And because Chiron's in the 8th house, Chiron is frequently in a place where we feel we are weak in some way or...
the wounded healer, yeah.
We may be found wanting in certain areas... And it's in her eighth house, so who knows what's in there, right? That's another kind of worms. But it's conjunct the Mercury, so they probably work together. And this has got to be the basis of who she is and what she does and how it is, how she expresses herself.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I love this. Keep going. I love it. That's great.
Do love me at the end. So anyhow, having just now looked at that T-square, because Mercury's the chart ruler, it's important. When you've got planet squares and opposition, you're working with them every day of your life.
Yeah.
You need to work with them, learn how they work, and use the energies properly. Use the Mars, get Jupiter moving, and get the communication. Learn another language, get the flow going, go for throat, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, so where do we go from here? Well, next up, we want to look at, we've just spotted that the Sun happens to be in Sagittarius and it's on the descendant, reinforcing this business for the one who would assume marriages and partnerships is hugely important for her.
Yeah.
But we also see that the Sun is trining the Jupiter, which has been brought to our attention already. Now, this is an excellent, excellent aspect. Sun trine, Jupiter, what more do you want? Jupiter, again, is disposing the Sun. That means the Sun is in Jupiter's sign, so the energy is flowing that way down towards her, so she can harness this through friends and associates, and that's probably her pool where she fishes and brings them into partnerships with her. So I would assume that this is someone who not only is perhaps married but has, maybe she's got a tennis partner and a bridge partner and a club partner, and she's got different people that she calls upon to do these different facets
panel
of
experts,
yes,
sort of thing.
So she's got many things going on.
Yeah.
And she's not just hammering away at the same...
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
...thing at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. So that's just briefly the sun, briefly, because that's really the major aspect that that has. Apart from the fact that the sun is in opposition to the ascendant, and that really means that she does put her partner ahead of herself.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is fine. That's what this chart is calling for, okay? Yeah. I just want to talk about the moon a little bit as well. She's got the moon in Scorpio, so we know that that's...
Yeah, and that's, I think, the only water placement. Is that my...
Yes, I've only got the one water placement.
Yeah, yeah, aside from the North Node, which is in Pisces.
That's right. So she's got the moon, which is your emotions, your feelings, your instinctive, what you're bringing with you. It's in Scorpio, so this will mean that if somebody does actually hurt her, it will go deep and she will remember.
And it's square Pluto. Ouch.
And it's square Pluto. So it will go deep and it will cut deep, and it's just one of those things. And the moon is in the sixth house of work, daily ritual and everything. So that area of her life will be in phases. So she'll have times of employment, times of unemployment, times of health, times of weakness, times of busy, busy days, times of quiet days.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the knack to kind of manage that is to know that when you're on a good role and you've got a good job, it's horrid to say it will not last, but bear in mind that you need to bank during the feast to cover for the famine, because that's what the moon does. It grows and it diminishes the area where it's found.
Yeah.
So we would also assume that health-wise, this has been the case as well. Maybe you don't know all the details, but...
I know in the past there have been a few injuries, certainly, that have that have taken her out of work for small phases. Like just...
stuff coming
up. Yeah, like sexual injuries. Yeah.
So whatever that's going to be. Yeah. And here there will probably then also be spurts of, I'll get healthy and go for Germany carrot juice, and then we go back to eating donuts or whatever,
right?
But somewhere in there has to be a balance. And because it's the moon there and it's in your health house, if she could follow the actual transiting moon during growth and get good things going, she'll be able to survive on the waning.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
So I don't know what her health is like, but if she needs to take vitamins or... stop drinking or whatever it is, that should be done on the waxing moon, and then just let things be. Change can occur on the waxing moon.
Right, so every 2 weeks about.
Yes. So in that way, you're not stuck with, oh, well, you've got to stop smoking, stop drinking. No one can do that.
Yeah, doing all the difficult things when it's hardest. You're going with...
Because you've got to keep your body strong when you've got the moon in the sixth house, because it's getting...
It is so tied in with your actual...
Exactly. Wow. But if you can cycle it to the moon that we see, and you can see what the moon's doing, you can actually say, okay, I'm going to eat healthy for 2 weeks.
Yeah. And then relax a little bit.
And drink water.
Yeah.
And I'm only going to smoke or drink, have a drink in that kind of period. Yeah. And that's a way of trying to find a balance with this.
Yeah. And it's not such a giant amount of time. It's not going, okay, I'm going to have this...
Exactly.
Fast that is like a whole month, or you know, diet that'll be forever. It's like a 2 weeks. Who can't do 2 weeks?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not that much. I mean, it can be more difficult with other planets than the sixth house health wise. But when the moon's there, especially if you're a woman, you've got that cycle going all the time.
Yeah, and it's a small bit of time. It's more of like a bite sized thing. It's not like having, I don't even know what else in the sixth house, but
like Pluto or something. You just
Like,
oh, you go cold turkey, I'll never eat chocolate again. You know?
Right. And it's one of those things where, like there's some dire allergy that you have to then avoid forever or something.
So this is it.
This is manageable,
So that, and again, if you can follow the cycles, she's going to do better work-wise and health-wise and ritually-wise.
Yeah.
And that, when I say rituals, I mean like the yoga, the gym, the Tai Chi,
sure.
or praying or whatever she does. That's going to work for her psychically, and she will be able to get on track with that house business, with that moon position. Yes.
Fascinating. Yeah, no, I totally see that. I think that's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned before when we started, oh, she's got a couple of planets in Libra. Oh. Well, let's have a look at Libra. So what do we have in Libra? So we've got Mars in Libra. Not so good. We've got Saturn in Libra. Well placed.
Yeah.
Then she's got Venus in Libra. Best place, and Neptune in Libra. So this is the generation of the Saturn nearly conjunct Neptune in Libra generation,
and then with Venus right sandwiched in between them.
So what we have here is, because Venus is in Libra in its own sign, it actually is the final dispositor.
Oh, you've got a little tree. Excellent. We'll show that as well.
Planet is positive tree. So what that means is that because Venus is in Libra, all the planets flow from down from Venus. Mars is in Libra, Saturn's in Libra, Neptune. And then below Mars, we have Jupiter's in Aries, Mars disposes, and the Moon in Scorpio, which we spoke about. Mm-hmm. And then Saturn is disposing the Chiron and Capricorn. And then Jupiter is disposing the Sun in Sagittarius and Mercury, which we spoke about. And then below that, we've got Pluto in Leo. That's generational, and the Uranus in Cancer.
Yeah.
So, but what it means is that Venus, out of all the bunch, running the pack, so yeah. It means that Venus is found dispositive for her, so she will want to be feminine, and she will want to.
Yeah.
I don't know, wear feather boas for breakfast, right? No?
Yeah. Big time. Big time. Yeah.
And where's all this Libra stuff happening? In the fifth house of fun and games.
Creativity.
So can I ask, what does she do in her spare time?
She's been a singer in a professional sense in the past.
What?
Not recently, but definitely.
In her day.
And also a dancer.
An entertainer.
Yep, definitely. And also a dance teacher. And yeah.
So she's definitely used that Venus in the Libra in the fifth house.
Definitely.
The Venus is conjunct Saturn, which is powerful because Saturn's in exaltation, Venus rules. She's got those two together, and that can be difficult.
Yeah.
But you can master difficult things there. So that is often a sign of ballet as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if she did that.
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we've got Neptune. Well, Neptune would always be there. The point is Venus is between the two, ruling the show. In the fifth house, and that's really what she wants. She must be highly creative.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. Definitely.
And is it all air type, Libra type?
She choreographs in her head.
Oh, she choreographs.
Absolutely.
What does she do as a job?
She's an administrator. She works veterinary medicine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
With women. Women's medical.
With women. And yeah.
Oh, really?
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. So which is all women. Statistically, it's the most women-dominated industry.
Is that
according
right?
According to the Wall Street Journal, yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's weird. I never knew that either. I was kind of shocked. It's right at the top of the list.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So here she's got that. That's just going back to the moon there. So she's got these four in Libra, four in the fifth house. Now, yes. It's interesting because this grouping in Libra, it comes up in a lot of charts of people who were born in these years because the fact that Neptune and Saturn were there.
Yeah.
The moon could have been there, you know, a week earlier, the moon would have been there. And you've got this...
A stellium.
Yeah, well, it's not quite, but it's close enough.
Yeah.
Three
of them are conjunct, yeah.
Yeah, four of them are there and in the fifth house.
Yeah.
So one would assume she has children.
She has one.
Only one child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyway, there would have been a need to do that too, definitely.
Yeah. She's taught children, though.
Okay, so she's been a teacher and had other children.
Yeah, yeah, and very, very successful.
And was she ever a foster mother or anything like that?
Just to her students. and that was, yeah, that was definitely a thing.
Okay.
They really just took to her like a little flock. Like a flock of ducklings chasing after her.
And she must be good at it, because it Venus
so
and Saturn are there. She's mastered it.
Yeah.
She's good at it, and she will be admired for what she does there.
Yeah.
And so on. But that's not what her main job is. Her main job is working in an office here.
Yeah. She's wanted to find a way to put those skills together, though. Because it's almost like having the one is your...
The one's so different to the other.
Yeah, the day job and then the what you really want to do, the passion thing, which is obviously very...
It's just so interesting.
Such a difficult dichotomy.
You see, the T-square is definitely going to the fifth house, right?
Yeah.
So this day job is just there to pay the rent.
Yeah.
Is the only reason she goes there.
Yeah.
Whereas really it has to be here. So in some way we need to find a way for her to make more use of that.
Yeah.
Find happiness through that. And because it's relaxation, it's social life, it's your fifth house, it's mm-hmm. what you do for fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where you will even pay to have fun, like if you go to a hockey game, you will pay to be entertained or go to the theatre or something.
I believe she has season tickets to the ballet.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. I don't know where else we're going to go with this at the moment, but... If we overlook here, over here as well at the Uranus, we haven't spoken about that. Uranus mm-hmm. is in Cancer,
yeah.
And it's in the second house retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
So Uranus in the second house.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Chopping and changing on earnings all the time.
Yeah. Which explains
yes.
why it can't just be well, you know, screw the day job and go with what you love. You can't. Because there's no financial stability with the Uranus.
And this is reflected. This Uranus in the second house is reflected by that moon fluctuating in the sixth house of work. So work will come and go.
Yeah.
And the feast and famine will come and go in the work. But that is then reflected to here, where maybe she's not paid every month, or for whatever reason the company closed down or money couldn't come, and there's chopping and changing all the time.
Yeah.
And financial comings in is not reliable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think there's a lot of fluctuation with
veterinary work.
Yeah, well, with the actual, just the industry itself, like there's hospitals, you know, closed down or get bought out, or very small clinics. If you've seen, you know, any veterinary hospital, that they're usually tiny, smaller than
a
dentist's office.
Two people at the front and a dog.
Yeah, and a few technicians, and then one or two vets, and you don't generally get a large, stable practice.
Yes.
You know, usually with that.
So maybe she's got, it can be an indication of part-time work or temporary work as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this often shows through where people have actually got maybe even multiple jobs because they know through practice that one job will not sustain them.
Yeah.
So she may have a Monday to Friday job and then think, well, I'll work for my friend in her boutique on Sunday. Maybe she's got a once a month working at a flea market type job where there's multiple incomes because of the instability of Uranus that Uranus creates in the second house.
Yeah.
And it's an indication that change will occur in the finances, and there may be that reflected in her self-worth as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, do we have any questions? Where are we going with this?
Gosh, well, the transits or the... Let's see.
She's got no Earth at all, right? So it's all positive. Six. I wanted to mention that as well. Six positive planets and one negative passive.
Yeah.
So she's outgoing. She's breezy. She's going to show a good front.
Oh yeah.
She's got Gemini rising. Yeah. She's going to talk the talk and walk the walk.
Yeah.
But,
and all that harmonious Libra, which just makes you, it wants to.
But the chart shows, even though she's got this job, it's the passion has to be in the fifth house.
Yep.
So she needs to somehow find a way to work that or get back into it or quit this and go and do that, really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think so. I think that's it's just a matter of finding a way to make that more of a stable thing, because obviously doing something that's a completely passion creative thing, as we both know, isn't always the most financially stable choice.
You've still got to have your day job. And you know, maybe she has to just accept that she has to have the day job.
But then also have
something
else.
This needs to be developed if it's not being developed. Often you'll find people with strong fifth houses, because it's not an important house, they ignore it. They neglect it because it's just creative. It's the kids. I'm just going to do some painting. And you just let it go.
Yeah. As we were talking about earlier, it's always got to be busy. There's going to be there's going to be nervous energy. There's going to be, and maybe it's going to over-focus on the job because that's all there is. But it has it has spare time. It has the time to devote to something else. It's just it needs to.
And you
to
need
have
to ask yourself,
focus.
What is she talking about all day? Is she complaining about the job, or little Johnny said this and she was late back from lunch, or whatever it is that and the niggling on because it's Gemini about what happened. Yep, 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 and it's sapping the energy that could go into all of this other stuff. Because that's where the T-square is.
Interesting. Interesting. So that just needs to be opened. That avenue of
this
expression
Mercury
just needs to...
She needs to get control of this Mercury. How she's talking to people and how she, what she's saying has to be... Don't put the energy there. Don't you can go about what happened yesterday or what Agatha said. Or something.
Yeah, just focus it somewhere else.
I don't know if she does that.
Just shut that off and completely... change gears into something that's more...
Take that energy and put it into this. Start writing your book about how you should have been a ballet dancer or whatever it is.
Right, right.
Rather than putting it out, and I don't know where you see.
Yeah.
Rather than saying when you get on the phone, I had such a problem with this and that, and telling you issues at work or problems. Mm-hmm. Rather say, I've started creating this, I've got my chapters outlined or something.
Right. It almost doesn't matter what that is, right?
Exactly.
I see. That's interesting.
To take that verbal energy, which she has a lot of, let's face it, and put it to...
It could be it could be focused anywhere.
Yes.
And just focusing it somewhere else into something, anything creative, doesn't even matter what it's...
Well, it needs to be artistic, because we know
artistic,
that. It needs to do with ballet. It should be doing with children. Maybe writing a book about how children should get into ballet, why they should do dance at all.
Huh.
Or... what the benefits are of even learning the five positions.
Right.
Or how to get your kid creative. You know, she's obviously got tons of information.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it needs to be channeled, because it will get forced out through there if you don't stop.
Right,
it.
And when you say through there, you're pointing to that Mercury.
I'm pointing to the Mercury because that's where the arrow is pointing of the T square. The energy from Mars and Jupiter is going through the Mercury.
Yeah, like an arrow. Yes. Like an arrow.
It's like a big funnel, and it's all going, and the energy is being expended.
Yeah, and you can choose where to point that arrow.
And because the Mercury is conjunct the Chiron, one has to be careful what one says, but it can become your weakness.
Yeah, interesting. And since Chiron, let's talk about that a little bit, because I didn't have Chiron online. But so Chiron is the wounded healer.
It is. Where we feel we are lacking, or we're not good enough, or someone told us 30 years ago, you'll never be a ballerina because you're too tall or you're too short, and that you've got this wound and you're taking it with you. It's got to be on her mind. These words are ringing in her ears. And so the point is, we have to accept Chiron for what it is and realize what it is. And if there's something she feels she has to say about it, she should stop writing these things down rather than just putting it out there, because this isn't helping. If she can write some daily notes or get some poetry, or I don't know, somehow get it out, rather than whining about problems today, she needs to address what occurred back then that changed this attitude.
I like that. That's interesting.
Okay.
And we'll see how much that resonates with our listener.
Absolutely.
But I honestly don't know.
We're bound to, but,
Yeah.
But no, but I'm trying to be positive.
No, that's wonderful. That is so, definitely.
So what I did as well was I printed out, I don't know how we're doing it, I printed out the graphic ephemeris for Madame X, and I'll leave this with you. It's 2 years. Across the top, we're right here in the middle. You always want to see where we are, where we're going.
And what does that tell you? That's
this
cool.
is about the transits. These are the transiting planets. I'll just leave it with you. This is her natal planets down the side.
Sure.
These are the transiting planets coming through in their cycle.
Excellent.
When they're going down, they're moving direct. That's where they station and go retrograde and come on back down.
Cool.
So, for instance, what we have here, because we're in January 2015. Jupiter has recently conjuncted her Pluto. One, two, three times it's going to happen. By the time this airs, it will be making the second conjunction. So there's bound to be some need and urge for this transformation.
Yeah.
We didn't talk much about her Pluto. It's in Leo in the fourth house.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some pressure from Jupiter to make some changes on that Pluto, and that will not pass until July 2015.
Okay.
Whatever's coming up, or whatever occurred in November, is going to be redeveloped again in January, but the final outcome will not be apparent until June.
Huh.
Now, because it's in her fourth house, we can only assume she's moving.
Okay. Huh.
Or someone's moving into her home, or someone's moving out of her home, or she's moving out of her home, or she's extending a home, or digging a basement deeper, or one of those combinations of the environment at home is changing.
Okay.
So there may be a new baby being born into the family, or maybe someone passes away, but it's to do with that.
Okay.
When it's Jupiter and it's people, it's usually an uncle. So I don't know who lives with her.
Interesting.
So anyway, that's sort of cropping up. Because it's fourth house, it's got to do with the domestic arrangements.
Hmm.
It could be also that when it's Pluto that she's got to get her drains fixed or something, or the washing machine. You know, it's one of those things.
Right.
The other thing that's coming through here is, I don't know if you can just follow along, this is the Pluto line.
Okay.
And Pluto is making an opposition to Uranus. Yes, you see, this is the thing. Transiting Pluto is opposing her Uranus. It did so in February. It will do so in January when we go to air, and it will come along for the third time at the end of October 2015. And it's slowly lingering, Pluto opposing Uranus.
Okay.
So we know that Pluto is transformation, and it will force some kind of transformation onto her Uranus, which is second house.
Yeah.
It's got to do with financial stuff. It usually typically is. So either she will say, I've got to sell this house because it's too expensive and I need to improve my income, or if I want to start this other business, I need to sell this big house. Or I don't know where she lives, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Change her living arrangements, get the rent down so that she's got more flexibility, because that Pluto will force a transformation on Uranus.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, interesting.
So what's interesting there is that Jupiter is actually stimulating her Pluto.
Yeah.
But the Pluto, the transiting Pluto, is having a go at the money as well.
Yeah. So that's bringing up all kinds of...
Yes. And it's probably going to be a combination of things that something to do with the house is costing too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe it'd be better to sell and rent for 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's kind of coming through, which is fine. But if she can get on top of it, she can make transformations so that her finances definitely improve. And this is the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's not all bad news. It's just difficult to live through till we get to the end.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe she feels she doesn't need to live in the city. She could live further out. Maybe she feels she's living in the country. She can move to the city. I don't know.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Because one of the good things about, for example, if you are living in the country, obviously you're commuting probably, and you spend a huge amount of money on your, you know, on gas and on all these things, and maybe maintaining a house that is just sucking up all kinds of money and, you know, appliances and whatever. You know, I don't own a house,
so but you know,
maybe it would seem better to own that house, but for a while maybe it'd be better to rent a place that would, you know, have you be closer to where you want to be, and then you'd spend less money on your commute.
And the
point is,
she's got an opportunity during this Pluto opposition Uranus to do something about it.
Yeah.
To change it for the better, to get the phoenix to come out the ashes.
Yeah.
Rather than just looking at the ashes.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Interesting.
There's a couple of other things going on as well. What she has is she's got this Neptune is... Neptune is conjuncting the North Node, which is up here. So that's going to be changing where... This occurred in January 2014, it started. She's had this long stretch, September, October, November, December, January. We're still in it. Neptune is still conjunct that North Node and hovering in position.
Hmm.
So that means that she's going to actually, when it's passed, she'll be able to see the wood for the trees.
Okay.
She'll be able to see the future better when Neptune's moved away. Because at the moment, decisions made, she hasn't got the full picture.
Okay, yeah, that's very clear.
So that will only be when we get into February, but she'll then be free of this confusion, but she hasn't got all the information.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, okay, so maybe things are coming to light there.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that's coming through is that during 2015 is that Saturn is doing a triple pass, and Saturn is actually going to cross her descendant.
Okay.
Which means it's opposing the ascendant.
Right.
So it's going to do that, and the first time will be in February. It'll be in orb February, March, April.
And over her sun too, because it's conjunct the descendant.
Yeah, but it hasn't got there yet,
you see. Okay, yeah.
In February, March, April, it will only be doing the descendant.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will come back for a third go at that in October 2015, and only then does it get to the sun.
Oh, wow, so it doesn't go very far into us. Okay.
So what does that mean? Well, Saturn is going to conjunct her descendant. It's quite a big thing. It's going to go from this house of work, where maybe work has been annoying, frustrating, draining her sparkle, and it will cross into her seventh house, finally at the very last one. Because of Saturn's retrograde period, she'll get a bit of a taste of it in March.
Right.
That there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but then Saturn's going to go back to the sixth and only then move forward in October 2015.
Oh, gosh.
Into the seventh house, into the public domain, into the light.
Interesting.
And when Saturn comes out of her sixth house, where it's been for years, she will find her working conditions improve.
Oh.
Because Saturn's been there saying, you're not on time, you've got to do this, all this paperwork, why don't you do, your chair squeaks, blah, blah. Saturn in the sixth house is a long haul of work. But that's coming to an end for her. So that's good news.
Yeah.
She's not going in there, right?
Right. Wow. Well,
comments.
That's great news. No, that's fantastic. Because I know that one of the things that this person was concerned about is work and what to do and where to focus and how in the world
In March this year, in 2015, she's going to see the light about how it could be.
Yeah.
But it may not occur then, because Saturn's still retrograde, but then by October, that's how it's going to go. She's got time to, like, gird her loins, as it were, to whatever opportunities or possibilities have been shown to her in March.
Yeah, so to get everything sorted and...
So maybe it could be any kind of scenario. Maybe if someone says, would you like to transfer to New York? Here's a vision.
Mm-hmm.
She's got time to do something about it. Maybe they're going to say, we want you to head up some department, or I don't know.
Sure. Yeah.
Also, she's headhunting. Would you like to go and, how about we're thinking of opening a practice in the middle of the woods? Or, I don't know. With any luck, it'll have to do with the arts, where she can maybe get a job on an arts council and do administration there. She doesn't need to work for a vet, right?
Right. Yeah. Be in the environment anyway.
Exactly. So someone may say to her, can you come and work for me for a week in March because I'm doing an expo in so-and-so and get a taste for what's going.
Yeah.
But it'll happen in March. There'll be something that crops up in March.
Whatever it is, make time for it.
That's showing her there's another way to do this.
Yeah. So look for that in March.
Yeah.
And don't turn it down.
It will sow the seed for what's to come.
In October.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, had she been single, I would then say, oh, you're going to be Mr. Right then, because it's seventh house. But we know that's not the case, so it has to be doing something. Maybe someone's going to offer her a partnership to do something else.
Right.
I'm thinking of opening a studio. Do you want to come and be our admin woman?
Right. Right. Yes. Because seventh house isn't just... It's partners in every way.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because once you're married, it's got to be something else. And it's your business partnership, dealing with the public, how others respond.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
That's kind of me off the top of my head.
It's wonderful. That was awesome. I would only have one question.
Yes.
I would throw in just because I as you know, I've got a bit of an interest.
Yes.
Well, the North and South Nodes.
Yes.
What are your thoughts? Do you have any...
The North Node to me is the future.
Sure.
It's where you're supposed to be going to.
Yep.
And the South Node is what's holding you back.
Yeah.
So she's got the North Node in Pisces, and that's where Neptune's going to start triggering, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So she's going to want to move towards it.
Yeah.
Her South Node is in the fourth house, showing that her family roots and her early environment is holding her back from moving forward. Maybe she feels she's not good enough, or she wasn't born into the right family, or she hasn't got the right credentials.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
To move towards that North Node, but Neptune's going to cross there.
Yeah.
So maybe the fog will be cleared if she even brought to her attention. I don't know if that's how it is, that she feels she didn't come from the right family or something. I'm not sure.
Right. I don't know. There's, that'll be a question.
Maybe she feels she needs to change her name to move ahead. That's that Mercury, eh?
Yeah. Mercury's like the tool that can direct all of that. The Mars and Jupiter and...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And your Mercury is where your name is.
Yeah.
How's your name? Do you like it?
How do you express yourself?
Because we just happen to know that she changed her name.
Yeah.
And maybe it won't be the only time she'll do that in her life.
Interesting.
So this is the sort of person, because we know a little bit more about her, who maybe even has a stage name.
Yeah.
Or she has a pen name. And that will maybe be the case that as the Neptune crosses over that North Node, she finally decides she's going to call herself some new name.
Huh.
And that's where her future's going to lie.
Or it could even be the name of, a business name, like a partnership.
Exactly.
Naming a business and then doing something under that name and as a, as a way of
focus. Yes,
Neptune's
going over the North Node where the future's lying.
Yeah.
So it needs to pass so she can clearly see, I'm going to call myself whatever.
Yeah.
Down Studio or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
Or she's going to write a book or she's going to do all of these things, but it has to be something that's creative to satisfy the chart.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This is not a chart of work, 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 no play. This is a chart of there's a lot of play, but you're too busy paying attention to work and what Mr. Jones said on Friday. And
right, right. That's fantastic. No, that's fascinating.
So there we
are. Love it.
And that's briefly how I would interpret a chart for a client.
And you are actually, right now I've read on your website, you are doing a New Year's special of sorts.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about that so that anyone that's intrigued after hearing all of this.
I'm calling it my gift to you. And what it is that I'm offering at the moment that if you book a full consultation for 2015, that would be for an hour, and you book and pay for it in December 2014, I will then offer you an extra hour's full consultation 6 months later to revisit or go over or whatever what we went over in the first session. Because astrologically, just having one reading in your life is just no good to anybody.
Right.
Astrology can do so much more for you. And if you have a sequence of consultations, it gives the astrologer a chance to explore this side of your chart, that side of your chart, and the other side. So you get a much deeper understanding of your chart.
Yeah.
Now, that's different to a client coming and saying, can you read my chart now? And is he the one?
Right.
And then they come back, say, 3 months later, can you read my chart again? And is he the one? And asking the same question. And that's not what this is. This is about developing a fuller understanding of your chart by exploring different aspects of it.
Yeah.
And I've got a special on off the top of my head. I can't recall what the price is, but it has to be paid for in December for bookings in the new year.
Yeah, and it's two
two full 1 hour sessions, yeah, where you're actually going to get a much better reading
for the price of one. What
two
you
for
would
the price of
be.
One? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
yes,
that's fantastic. That sounds like an amazing deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Starsology.com. Allison with one L at Starsology with a Z or Z if you're if you're funny that way.
Yeah. And that's kind of the deal I'm going on for the, just so that people can understand that there's more to it than having a reading.
Yeah.
If you're just having a reading, you can do that at a fairground, but astrologers could offer so much more.
Yeah.
And in the case of our Madam X,
yeah,
maybe we can revisit her again in 6 months' time and explore something further in her chart.
That sounds great.
Because this would just be your first pass through.
Right. So if that's the kind of thing, if you're listening as something where you want to learn more about yourself, but you also are trying to figure out what to do next or change gears or stuff like that.
Which way to face in 2015, because if it's a year to push, you want to push on the right time. You can't be surfing in when the tide's going out.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there you go, Owen, and that's my reading of Madam X for you.
I love it. I absolutely love it. All right. Well, we do not have any books
to
review,
week.
And neither of us do.
No.
But this has been...
I have to say, I've got a few books that I'm coming through. I'm currently reading a book that I was sent through by one of the eminent astrologers in the United States, and she sent me her ebook to review, and I'm reading it, and I will be reviewing it next time when I finish reading it.
Exciting.
And also putting a review up on my site and on Amazon as well. And I know you said you picked up some books for the new year.
Some
fresh meat for us.
Yeah, well, a couple of them, because I love the used bookstores, as we discussed before. Yes, there are a couple of them here in Vancouver. And I love them because you can get more books.
That's right.
Plainly my only reason. I love...
So you've got books in the pipeline coming for review in 2015 as well. Absolutely.
Yeah,
we're quite readers, aren't we?
Five books on my nightstand right now. With bookmarks and
five books on your nightstand. My lord.
Yeah.
So that sounds good. So we've got a lot of food for thought coming up this year.
We do, absolutely.
For our listeners.
Yeah.
You can contact us.
accessastrology@gmail.com.
We're on iTunes?
We are on iTunes, yes. You can find us by searching Access Astrology or just Astrology, and we're right there in the top 10-ish, I think. It fluctuates. We are definitely.
We're popular. We're gaining a lot of followers. We're gaining traction.
Yeah. Oh, you can follow us on Twitter at Access Astrology. What's the other one? Oh, yeah. You can find us online at accessastrology.com, where we have all of our show notes and we have links. And we have
thanks to Arwen, who's obviously diligent with the show notes, being the Virgo, and I am slightly not as diligent, but I do try.
I'm diligent on almost all the pages. Yes. Absolutely. Well, Access Astrology is produced and recorded by Roger Aaron Toews. I am Arwen O'Neill.
And I'm Alison Price.
Thanks again for joining us.
See you next time.